We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jeremy will be back on Monday. By then, the Stanley Cup playoffs will have started. That's one of the things we will talk about as we go to the Westar Hotline, a little hockey talk. We'll talk about... There's a little story going on with Jack Eichel, too. I'm not sure if your Sabre fans are aware of it. We are going to the Westar Hotline and be joined by EJ Raddick from NHL Network. You can watch him on NHL Network with the NHL Now show, weekdays, 4 p.m. through the playoffs. EJ, it's Howard and Brayton. Good morning. How you doing?
Hi, guys. How you doing, Howard? We've done this for a long time, so it's just more good news.
You used to actually come on with us when the Sabres were playing playoff games. You might not remember, but
I remember.
Yeah,
I do remember.
Right.
I do remember that. Yes, that was a long time ago now.
So, what are your thoughts as an outsider, so to speak, from a national perspective on the stuff that happened with Eichel this week and what's going on up here right now?
Well, it was. It's surprising, right, that a player is so outspoken publicly about the situation, but it just goes to show you where the relationship is right now. And also, when you read up on what the discussion is about this injury and how, he wants to go about treatment, I understand the concern of the team, and I also certainly understand the player wanting to do what he thinks is right for his body and his career. So this is pretty unique and understandable, I think, on both sides. And the CBA indicates that the team does have, more say these days with the changes in the CBA over time. They have a little more say on these matters, or maybe a lot more say on these matters. So I think this is a really unique and difficult impasse. And I'll be curious to see how that part of it is resolved. But there's been a lot of water under the bridge between Jack Eichel and the Buffalo Sabres. I don't have to tell you guys. I go all the way back to the very, very start when, at the draft lottery, Tim Murray, who was then the GM of the Sabres, upon the result becoming official and the Sabres getting the second pick, seemed to just be upset about the process instead of welcoming the fact that likely we're going to end up with Jack Eichel. And I think if I was Eichel at that time, I would have been, this wasn't the response I was expecting. So right from the start, it seemed like, there have been some challenges in that relationship.
I'd like to ask you, get your thoughts, if they trade and what the market would be like. And I think either way, EJ, this was a discussion that was trending the way the season was playing out because, again, another losing season, last overall, another coaching change. And I think no matter what, Eichel would have been asked by the media, do you want to be here and deal with this anymore? But, the injury situation and what he said about the disconnect just added another layer to this discussion. So having said all of that, if the Sabres decide to trade Jack Eichel this offseason, factoring in the injury situation, what is the market for Jack Eichel? What would it be like?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the injury, right? And what the medicals are and how comfortable another team would be in making that move. So we know what he is as a player. He's still a young guy. He's a big man. When he's healthy and going, he's one of the top offensive players in this league. So, and he's a centerman. So I think a lot of teams would would certainly be willing to pay a lot to get him. I mean, I could imagine if you're in Anaheim, let's say, you know, maybe you'd be willing to give up Trevor Zegras and maybe another good defenseman, or maybe a good defenseman with Zegras, and then maybe a pick, depending on the medicals. If you're in L.A., I mean, maybe you're willing to trade a Quentin Byfield, who was the second overall pick last year, and a couple of other good young prospects and draft picks to get him. I mean, this is a significant, significant player. And if you're the Buffalo Sabres, you've got to get some serious assets in return. And if you're going to do this process, and again, if the medicals are favorable and the market in that, and there's not a concern that he's not going to be able to play at the highest level, I would think you're going to be able to create a pretty good auction amongst teams that have a lot that would be willing to bid quite a bit to get his services.
We're with EJ Raddick from NHL Network. EJ, to the Stanley Cup playoffs, first round series are all set now. Is there a most interesting series, or maybe even a couple series that you look at and go that's more intriguing than the others?
I think they're all pretty darn good, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, like from a personal standpoint, I think Toronto and Montreal playing is kind of cool because, I mean, I remember having them on my table, hockey game, Toronto and Montreal.
The old metal players, right? Not the plastic players, the metal players.
That's right. 100 years ago when I had that, when I had that table hockey game, it was Toronto and Montreal. And we don't see that too often, so that's kind of cool. I think the Battle of Florida. I mean, there's a totally different thing. You have all the lore and legend of the original six teams in Canada of Montreal and Toronto, and then you have the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning and the kind of upstart Florida Panthers. First time that those two teams are getting together in a playoff series. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be, I mean, they go after each other pretty good, and Tampa's got some challenges, I think, with some guys that are probably not 100% healthy going into the postseason, and Florida, it just seems like, they get an injury, they move guys in and out, seems like no problem, they just keep rolling along, so, you know, that's a good one. In that same division, Carolina, I mean, that's a team, this is maybe the year they go on, maybe get to a Stanley Cup final, maybe win the whole thing, they have a really good group, but they're playing Nashville, and Nashville's been probably as hot as anybody over the last 6-8 weeks of the season with a goaltending performance from UC Soros, which is kind of reminiscent of a guy you guys are familiar with, Dominic Hasek. I mean, a .941 save percentage from Soros over his last 22-23 games was pretty impressive. And, you know, then you go out west and you got Vegas and Minnesota, which Vegas had a great year. Minnesota always seems to have their number, so how that's going to play out. And, you know, then the East, you can probably flip a coin with those two matchups. Boston and Washington starting tomorrow evening on NBC after the Preakness. Then Chara against his former team. Bruins look good now after the trade deadline acquisition. So, I mean, there's a lot of good series and a lot of good storylines.
I want to sneak ahead to the second round, if you don't mind, because, look, up here, people don't root for the Leafs, not surprisingly. In Buffalo, I usually enjoy watching them flame out in the first round against Boston. But I got to tell you, from a hockey fan standpoint, EJ, I think one of the best series in these four rounds could be Toronto and Edmonton, Matthews and McDavid in the second round. I think that'd be great for the sport.
I agree. I mean, I think that would be awesome for the sport to have that kind of star power going head-to-head. And also, you know, think about it. You have Dreisaitl and you have Mitch Marner. And
right.
You have, and you have the storyline of Joe Thornton, who's, you know, the ancient Joe Thornton, still trying to win the Stanley Cup there in Toronto. And so, you know, there's a lot of good storylines there as well. And that would be fun to watch those guys go head-to-head in a seven-game series. I mean, we never really had that when you go back into, the time of Gretzky and Lemieux, those guys never really crossed paths in a playoff series, so we lost out on that. We've had Crosby and Ovechkin, and that's been fun to watch. And so now the possibility of a Matthews-McDavid, and because of the uniqueness of the season, we could get that, whereas down the road, it will be less likely,
right,
because of the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs obviously are in the Eastern Division and the Eastern Conference, and the you know, in the Edmonton Oilers in the Western Conference.
A couple other things with you, EJ, and I'm curious. Now I'm going to get you into the third round, okay? Because while things are getting better in terms of COVID in the States, it's not so good in Canada. I think I read today that Ontario is going to extend their shutdown for a couple more weeks. Has the league figured out what they would do come round three when the North Division champion has to go somewhere?
I think, well, you know, this whole situation has been fluid, right? Even going back to when it all started. And I think they've been kind of dealing with things on the fly. I remember going back to last year, we were getting ready to go into the bubble. There was talk that the two bubble cities would be Vegas and Vancouver. And then that changed kind of very dramatically into Edmonton and Toronto late in that process because of changes and medical concerns and local health issues in Vancouver and in Vegas. So things change. And I think that this is one of those situations where the league has probably got several things they're talking about, several options, and they're going to kind of see how things play out. But I would think they're pretty far along with the idea that it'll be difficult for the Leafs to have anybody up there. So I think we might be in a situation where they may have to relocate. Let's say if it's the Leafs, because it could be the Oilers, could be the Canadians, could be the Jets. I mean, really, it is kind of wide open, although the Leafs have seemingly been the best team in the North so far this year. So I think whoever it is, my guess is that they might have to relocate to a North American city, like we've seen with the Toronto Blue Jays, for example, and the Toronto Raptors, and do something along those lines. I think if there's any concern at all about possible further outbreaks and a possible stoppage, they would probably have to even consider going into a bubble for the semifinals just because of that. Because I don't think from a business standpoint the league could afford to have this thing stopped at any point because a team can't continue, and they're not going to force a team, obviously, that has a health issue within their group to continue. So I think there's still a lot of things, or several things, I'd say, on the table as they plan out the third and fourth rounds of the playoffs. But I think, again, it's fluid, and I think that they'll probably go through all these different options and see where things fall as they get closer and then make a decision.
And then lastly, I was curious, the plan for next season, EJ, is it to return to what were the normal divisions and that playoff format?
As far as we know, that is the plan. There's a talk about two kind of different schedules, one that's more focused on the divisional play, but where you would play everybody else as well. And I think the difference in the two schedules that they are looking at is, one, you play in your division a lot, and then you play everybody else an equal amount, like two times everybody else. The other proposal is you play in your division, then you play that extra game maybe against the other team in your conference.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have three games against the other team in your conference, then you'd play one game each against teams in the West. So I think they're looking at both of those. I think they get influenced a little bit by some of this in-division play this year, some of the positives of that. I'll be curious to see which things kind of carry over in the future. Kind of, these ideas of playing two games in the same city seems like it's been something that is a doable thing to move forward with in certain situations down the road. So I think those are the things they're looking at. But there isn't an appetite to continue with this current format. The idea is they want to go back. It'll be really an even balance now with eight teams in each of the four divisions.
Well, EJ, I appreciate you coming on with us. You're going to be a busy guy the next couple months with NHL Now. Enjoy the playoffs, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. And let's get the Sabres back on track. I liked when I used to come on and talk about, Mike Pekka's Sabres and Dominik Hasek's Sabres and Ryan Miller's Sabres and, Chris Drury's Sabres. I liked those days. So hopefully Kevin Adams and company will get that thing turned around.
We hope so too. It's just hard to get to a happy spot. But yet, you never know,
imagine,
right?
Hard to imagine right now. It could happen.
Yes. I trust you, EJ. I do. I trust you. Thank you. Always nice to have you on the show.
You got it.
Have a good weekend. EJ Raddick joining us on the Western Hotline from NHL Network. A quick note, and then Brayton, I want to get you in here, and we'll talk a little bit about the playoffs. You know, when EJ was talking about the North Division champion, whoever it is, Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, or Montreal, so they'll stay in their division for the first two rounds, and they come out for the third division, and they'll play a U.S.-based team. And if they relocate, like people, I know we were wondering, people were thinking, hey, if Toronto comes out of the North Division, do they come here and play the semifinal games in Buffalo? Maybe, but maybe not. I think one thing I saw, the league was talking about relocating the North Division champion geographically close to the team they're playing. So it wouldn't be, you wouldn't necessarily move Toronto to Buffalo or Montreal. Who's closest to Montreal? Us or Boston? You wouldn't necessarily pick the closest U.S.-based city to that team. You would put them near their opponent. So if Toronto is playing Chicago, whatever, put them in Minnesota or Detroit. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't necessarily be Leafs here because we're closest to them. Maybe the Leafs are here if they play Pittsburgh. Let's say Toronto plays Pittsburgh. Geographically, what's close to the Penguins? Us, Philly. So you could see that happen with the North Division champion. All right, Brayton, here we go. You ready? Here are the first round series. You tell me what you find are the most intriguing stories or the best series to watch. Carolina, Nashville, Florida, Tampa in their, let's see, that'd be the Central Division. The East, we know, Pittsburgh, the Islanders, Boston, Washington. North, Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Winnipeg. And the West, Colorado, St. Louis, Vegas, Minnesota. Best series to watch. See, I'm all in on, I will always pick, Toronto will bring me to the TV. A, they're good.
Yeah.
B, they're entertaining. They play an exciting style. Emotionally, I'm involved because I root for the Leafs to lose.
Yeah.
On my disliked team list, there's always a place at the top for the Flyers, the Islanders, and the Bruins in whatever order. So the Leafs, I guess, would be no higher than four. But I root for them to lose, so I will root for Montreal, not that I'm a huge Canadiens fan. Plus, it's the Leafs and the Canadiens, which is a great rivalry. They haven't met in the playoffs in 40 years. Out of all the eight series, to me, if there was one series I was going to watch, it would be Toronto-Montreal.
I think there's one series that is getting a lot of attention as of late, especially, and this is probably the one that I'm picking. It's Florida-Tampa Bay. Because, A, it's two Florida teams that are in the playoffs playing one another, which is an oddity in itself.
And that's never happened, right? They've never met in the playoffs before?
They have never met each other in the playoffs before, so this will be the very first time.
More Florida's fault than Tampa's fault.
And the second thing about this matchup is that, especially in the past few games, it's gotten a little feisty between those two teams. It's been a little rough and tumble, some fights and everything like that, which, you know, I'm not one that is just going to watch a series based on fights or anything like that, but this series, I mean, both these teams are high-flying, fast, skilled teams. Tampa Bay obviously just won the Stanley Cup this past year. Florida is a team that's coming up and getting better every single time. I mean, they have a Hall of Fame head coach in Joel Quenneville, and they just seem like they've got everything together and flying right now. So Stanley Cup champion against one of the better teams maybe in the Eastern Conference, I'm looking forward to that matchup the most.
You know, and I think in the next, I also think you should watch Edmonton. I mean, that's part of the, as I said before, you know, with the way the divisions were set up and the way the schedule played out with the Sabres just playing East Division teams, I really didn't watch other hockey. And it's typically, I don't see a lot of Oilers games anyway, later starts, and or NBC never puts them on the television schedule when the Oilers come East because it's the NHL and they have no idea how to schedule their network games. To me, Edmonton is, if you want to watch a team, I mean, of course, you've seen McDavid play. What an amazing season this guy has had. And I really, it's for me, it's gone unnoticed because I really, except a couple games against Toronto, I just didn't watch Edmonton. So I want to watch Edmonton. And I do think.
Why would you want to watch Edmonton?
Yeah, because
there's
fun.
There's no one there of interest.
I mean, McDavid, I almost would.
Who's this McDavid
guy?
Yeah,
I know. He's a flash in the pan guy. He just had like a lucky season. Him going to the finals, I think would be great from the standpoint of, again, and I don't think it. You know, it's not going to be like a ratings bonanza when all is said and done. The NHL will probably still average, 1 point whatever or 2 point whatever they average in the Stanley Cup Finals. But to have a guy like that and that talent and be able to see him, they've never gone deeper than the second round since he got there. And I'd love to be able to see McDavid on the big stage. 4 rounds, Stanley Cup Final on NBC for maybe some casual fans who just, you know, wouldn't necessarily watch hockey but get to see this kid show the world how amazingly brilliant this kid is. So I would root for Edmonton if I was going to root for someone to get all the way, because I think it's great for McDavid to be there. But I think Toronto-Edmonton in the second round would be great. I think most people would like to see a Colorado-Vegas matchup.
Yeah.
In the second round in that division.
The rematch of the Lake Tahoe outdoor games.
Which, you know, was its own little issue.
Yeah. I mean,
Carolina's been playing really well. Carolina-Tampa, I think, would be a good division final.
I do have to say, don't underestimate the Wild.
Yeah.
I think they're a much better team than I think a lot of people take them into account for. They seem to be deep defensively, solid defensively. Their goaltending may be their biggest question, because is it going to be Cam Talbot or their backup? I think his name is Kaapo Kakkonen or something like that. I can't remember. I know who it is, but...
Really?
Just,
you have not memorized the Wild's backup goalie?
I have not.
How did you get this job?
I don't know.
I'm just being a jerk.
Yeah, I know you are.
You don't need to know the backup goalie for the Minnesota Wild.
But I mean, it is... Let's see here. I got it. Yeah, Kaapo Kakkonen. So the real star of this team, though, is rookie Kirill Kaprizov. He is
like a human highlight reel, dude.
Oh my goodness! Like the hype about him was, yeah. Oh, you know, he's playing in Russia, and there's a lot of questions on whether he's coming out, and everybody was freaking out, and not only in Minnesota but the hockey world, just like, this guy might be one of the best talents in the world, and he's just going to stay in Russia. Like, what's up with that? Well, he comes over, and he's clearly going to be the Calder Trophy winner this year. He's just been producing at an insane rate in Minnesota. 27 goals and 51 points in 55 games. He's fast. He's so skilled. He's a guy that when he gets the puck on his stick, you just sit at the edge of your seat, just kind of like, what is this guy going to do next? And it also helps that he wears the number 97, too, because there's another player that wears the number 97 that's really good.
Is he wearing that because of McDavid?
I don't know. I mean, I think he was born in, he was born in 97, so that's probably why.
Oh, that's right. He was older because he was over in Russia.
Yeah, Kirill Kaprizov is just a dynamite player that, you know, he could single-handedly help Minnesota knock off whoever they play. And they're going to be playing Vegas in the first round, right?
Yes, because Colorado's playing St. Louis.
Yes, so I wouldn't doubt that in my mind one bit, is if Kaprizov could be a huge factor for Minnesota in helping them get past the first round.
The playoffs will start tomorrow night with one game. The Boston-Washington series opens tomorrow night. And then on Sunday, you've got... You still got the North Division finishing its regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But Islanders, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Vegas, Tampa, Florida would be the lineup on Sunday. And, you know, waiting for the North Division playoffs. Let's see. They still – oh, my Lord. By the way, is this just for draft order? Why are Calgary and Vancouver playing out their schedules?
I mean, probably they're just trying to get every game in so they can factor in
TV regional – I mean, this is just – they're still playing through – Wednesday. The North Division playoffs do not start until next Thursday.
Why do they have to wait for those games to get done before they start their playoffs?
Yeah.
Like, Montreal season, done. Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Toronto each have one more game. Calgary and Vancouver can just play out their games. Just let them play, and you start the playoffs. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't...
And I mean, at this point, anyway, you're looking at the league standings, and you're looking at the bottom of the standings. Buffalo's clinched number one. Anaheim's clinched number two. Vancouver's tied with New Jersey, but they hold the tiebreaker on them.
Winnipeg,
not quite yet.
Winnipeg and Edmonton are playing Wednesday, I assume. Is that a regular season game they're finishing, or is that's the start of their playoff series, probably? I should check that. because they're playing Wednesday. Toronto and Montreal are playing Thursday next week.
I had the whole playoff schedule up.
Because I thought the other teams were done. I thought it was just Vancouver basically playing catch-up because of the shutdown they had with the COVID.
North Division playoffs begin on Thursday the 20th for the Maple Leafs Canadiens and Wednesday the 19th.
So that is a playoff game.
So Wednesday
night is the first playoff game in that series. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550 to join us. Hey, we're going to chat with the new UB coach when we get back. Maurice Linguist is joining us in a moment on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
New man on the job over at the University at Buffalo is Maurice Linguist, introduced officially earlier this week as the new head football coach for the UB Bulls. And he's with us right now on the Western Hotline. Coach, it's Howard and Brayton. Good morning and belated congratulations, sir.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Brayton. Thank you so much. Excited about being here. Excited about getting to work.
So, you know, you have familiarity with the University of Buffalo, of course, which we'll get to in a moment, having worked on a staff a few years ago. But I guess, Maurice, first thing I'm curious about, what appealed to you most when you realized, the job became open and you had a shot at it? What appealed to you the most about this?
Yeah, sure. When I first received the phone call about the initial interest and we had some initial exchanges, the first thing that appealed to me was the support that was in place from our AD, Mark Allnut, and our president, Dr. Tripathi. I mean, we've built a championship foundation here. And the job that Coach Lance Leipold and the staff did before, going to 3 straight bowl games and 2 Mackey's titles, the structure and stability was here. And then when you think about, UB in and of itself as a university, it's an academic juggernaut, really felt like that this is the best combination of academics and athletics in the MAC conference. An AAU university, R1 research university, we are the flagship university of the state of New York. We had over 32,000 students and over 200,000 alumni and nationally ranked medical and business and education programs and football program coming off of 3 straight bowl games. So you just see it's got so many things that are appealing, new indoor and new locker room and new team meeting room. And there's so many good things going around around the program and inside the doors. And then my familiarity that I already had with the program, it just all started coming together. And then you get on the phone with a guy like Khalil Mack that's in the NFL now, that's top 5 overall draft pick, that was here with me when I was coaching here on the previous staff, and then you start seeing all the support from all the former players. It just all started coming together really good.
As you well know, Maurice, typically when a coaching change is made, you come in after the previous coach had some failures and the program needed to be turned around, and that is not the case here. You come in and take over the program at a time really that has been the best stretch since they elevated to FBS. How attractive was that to you? And I maybe just talk a little bit about that you pick up a program that's been successful, not one that has to be rebuilt.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what excites you, the foundation that's in place and And I'm currently going through one-on-one meetings with our players right now, and there's excitement on their part. There's excitement on our part to really have a continuation of what's been established here and to continue to grow and build. I mean, we're always just trying to get find those inches and crumbs to continue to move the needle and get better and improve. And I just think it's a great mix. I have familiarity with the program. Even the players that I'm meeting with now, they're telling me about the guys that have been texting them that I've coached before at UB, and they're excited that the former players are excited, and they're excited about me. And so you're always looking at the challenges that maybe a program can present, and also what excites you. But definitely, there's a lot of things that excite us here. We're not where we want to be. We still have a lot of work left to do, and we have every intention of coming here and continuing to build and grow and climb that college football ladder and continue to push the national brand of UB and Buffalo football and the University at Buffalo and do it on the football field at a high level.
You've worked for a number of coaches, various Power Five programs. You've been in the NFL on the Dallas Cowboys staff. Who are, when you think about all the head coaches you've worked for, who are the biggest coaching influences on you?
You know what? It's amazing. I've been so fortunate to be around. Just outstanding coaches from throughout my entire coaching career. But, you know, I will tell you this, even growing up as a young man, even before I got into football and coaching, you know, some of the people that influenced me the most were some of the women that raised me and some of the women in my life. But, you know, I think about my grandmother, and she taught me how to slow down and be patient and listen. And I think about my mom. And, I mean, that's where my work ethic and toughness comes from. My wife, she gives me my balance, and she's been with me, Stacy, the entire way in coaching. And I got a little four-year-old daughter named Mara, and if you ever try to get the iPad away from her at bedtime, you're going to learn what grit and determination is all about. I mean, she's a fighter, you know what I mean? So she reminds me every day about how to be determined for what you want. Mara reminds me every time it's time to go to bed, she's got that iPad. So you got to think about the coaches that have been in my life, you know, even – at the FCS level, Mickey Matthews at James Madison University. We were able to get a ton of NFL players when I was there, and it really taught me how to evaluate, you know, how to really take your time, evaluate the player, learn the history of the player, what are you looking for. And then Jeff Quinn was the former head coach here that brought me here at the University at Buffalo. Just so many lessons from Coach Quinn. You know, one of the biggest lessons is when I was the assistant coach here, I was coaching the secondary, and after two seasons, he was going to name me the defensive coordinator. And it taught me a valuable lesson about being prepared for an opportunity before the opportunity presents itself. So you're preparing for the opportunity, so you're not trying to get ready for the opportunity when it's there. And it always taught me a valuable lesson in preparation and always trying to see 6 months ahead and 12 months ahead and 18 months ahead and preparing yourself for opportunities. Paul Rhodes at Iowa State, just the all-in mentality and the passion he brought to Iowa State was a big influence on me. And Dan Mullen, when I was with him at Mississippi State, just getting 11 guys lined up and going hard and working together how to get 11 guys playing as hard as humanly possible was a big lesson I learned from Dan Mullen. And P.J. Fleck, he's my friend. He's been a big mentor in my life. We were together at Minnesota. Just so many lessons on leadership and culture and teaching and how to connect and how to do things in a unique manner. And Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, really recruiting at a national level, recruiting at a national stage, player personnel, how to put players in a position to be successful, how to maybe move a guy from one position to the next, and how to really look at a player in multiple different lenses and put guys in different positions and move the needle with those guys. And, you know, went to Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, obviously Mike won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys. And the lessons of just hearing how to win a Super Bowl and how you build your roster to win a Super Bowl and the lessons that you go through and learn throughout a season of winning a Super Bowl were very impactful and big. And then you know, I spent some time with Coach Harbaugh just in the spring there in Michigan, but program organization and program structure. And then a friend of mine, Pat Fitzgerald, over there at Northwestern, always lean on him for leadership and valuable lessons. So I have been so fortunate. I'm probably missing people. I probably went too long talking about it, but just been fortunate enough to be around what I feel like are just the best of the best when it comes to coaching.
I got one other thing to ask you, but I just do have kind of a – if you tell me your daughter on that iPad is watching clips of UB opponents, like cut-ups, I will be really impressed with your work ethic. Not yet, right? Is that later in the year?
That's got to be later.
All right.
What she will do now is we had the Zoom call with the Cowboys. You know, we're going through the pandemic, so we're doing video installs with all the players, and we're on Zoom calls. And as everybody has probably experienced, that working from home could present different challenges. So my daughter, she's four. She busts in the office. I mean, she doesn't. I mean, you know, kids, they're just going to come in when they want to come in. And she says, "Hey, Daddy, are these the football players?" I mean, and it's a serious meeting. We're going through drills and installs. I said, "Listen, hey, here's my daughter. Hey, guys, meet my daughter." And it was a fun, funny moment. But she's right in the middle of things. She's going to be a competitor. It's already inside of her. So we're just letting her grow up as she may.
Before we let you go, I got a text from someone who is telling me I should ask you about you buying your quote plane ticket for the interview. I'm not at liberty to divulge my source, by the way.
Hey, Howard, you're doing your research now, man. I mean, this is some next level. This is some top next level research. So, I mean, the search firm called me about coming out here for the interview, and they said, "Hey, we got to get you a round trip ticket. We're going to get you from Detroit out here to Buffalo, and then we'll get you a return flight from Buffalo to Detroit. Why don't you just go ahead and book it, and we'll just reimburse you after you book it." Well, I booked a one-way ticket from Detroit to Buffalo, and they called me the next day and said, "Well, Coach, you never booked a return flight to get back to Detroit after the interview." And I told them I didn't plan on leaving. So I've been here since Thursday. I interviewed Friday, accepted the job Saturday, and I have not left since. And we've been rocking and rolling. We got a group of coaches that have been hired, and meetings going on. And as planned, we haven't made it back to Detroit yet.
Well, good luck with the job, and congratulations once again, Maurice, and thanks very much for giving us some time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me this morning. Can't wait to see everybody out at UB Stadium this fall, and look forward to seeing everybody. Go Bulls.
Have a good weekend, sir. That is Maurice Linguist, the new football coach. He was the co-defensive coordinator for the University of Michigan, now the new football coach at UB. We'll wrap the show in a moment. Instigators, coming up. Couple things before we go. Don't have to be super fast, but just kind of fast. If you're planning on wagering on the Preakness tomorrow night, 6:50 post time, we'll have it on WGR. We had our segment with Todd Height from Batavia Downs. It is an on-demand audio if you need a longer explanation of the race. If not, you want to know who he suggested you should bet on and what you should do, we have retweeted that out of the station Twitter account. That is available for you as well. What else? What was the other thing I was going to mention? Oh, Stanley Cup playoffs begin this weekend. Brayton, who's got the longest Stanley Cup drought from the teams in the field this year?
Toronto.
Yes, they do. 1967, if you forgot.
Yep.
I'm just going to say this. I do want to see Toronto and Edmonton in the second. I think it'll be a great matchup. But if the Leafs lost again in the first round in a year where they set the format up for them to be in round three, it would be one of the funniest things ever.
Fans would want to burn Toronto to
the ground. Can't imagine how angry Leaf fans would be if
they
don't even have to worry about Boston in round one.
The question would be then at that point, would they blow it up?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, if they want to trade Matthews.
I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask.
That would be freaking hilarious.
That would be unbelievable.
Teams that have never won a cup. Florida, Nashville, Winnipeg, and Minnesota. There you go. Instigators are on the way. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.